Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
It's showtime, folks!
This is where the big boys play, huh?
Woo! And look at Goldberg! He's ready!
Oh, hell yeah! It's gonna be the biggest battleground in the history of our sport.
Cold Soul Classic Nitro Review 2024. What does that hold in store? Shit wrestling from the 90s, as you come to expect. We are a divine constant in your world. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, Tom Campbell, and joining me to talk through every episode of Monday Nitro, week by week, spelt both ways, week by week. It is the resident WCW Nitro kid, Sam Driver.
Oh, I'm having a great one.
We're having a great time. We're back. New year. New me. Says all the single mums on Facebook. We're ready to go. I tell you what was nice. I'll give you a nice little tidbit from the first week into the new year, which has been very full on. Lovely to see you at North Wrestling on Friday.
Well, we're working on something at the minute. I don't know if it's been announced.
A little top secret project.
We're working on something. But part of that was being at North. And helping set up commentary, Jesus.
Yeah, you did a lovely job because you made Vader, Scott, and I sound fantastic.
I did not know how to use that mixer. It was pure luck that anything came through it. And it was like, all right, next time, just change these settings a bit, and it'll be all right.
But you're now an indelible part of North history. As we managed to put on match that, well, I say we, like I was involved in either what Leon Slater and Speedball Mike Bailey did. Oh, Jesus Christ. Match of the year, like a week into 2024.
Yeah.
Small matter of that. If you haven't watched it, it's on North Wrestling's YouTube. And the reason that you can hear myself and Vader Scott on it is because Sam Driver got the commentary desk going.
They would have heard you anyway.
I mean, admittedly, Alex, a good lady who was in the crowd, said, we could hear you.
There was a whole point where when you do a ring announcement, you'd forget to turn the microphone off.
Ah! Oh.
So I'm stirred in the first three rows, could just hear commentary.
Excellent.
Like really faintly, but they could hear it.
Ah! Oh.
So I was just like, Tom, turn the mic off, and try to get your attention. Be like, Mike, turn the mic off.
I thought you were just waving at me. That's quite nice to everybody.
Oh yeah, it was like a secret little tidbit.
Secret little some people can hear comms over the top. It was nice, but it was a lovely show. Mm. Mike Bailey and Vader Scott were lovely house guests as well. They stayed with myself, Alex, and Pablo.
Nice.
And they were lovely. Wonderful. Honestly, really lovely. Really, we went to Wagamama's.
Nice bit of dins,
and then we stayed up late and ate shawarma and put the world to rights. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Really nice people. Yeah. Good eggs. They're welcome back anytime. So we can't talk about that because that's 2024.
No, we're supposed to talk about the 90s.
We are indeed. The simpler time of...
Simpler, happier, simpler time more than anything.
If you wanted to get the internet, if you wanted to watch a match on the internet, you'd need at least four AOL CDs in this particular
and
time.
And it'd be such shit quality. It'd be amazing. No phone going off every 2 minutes in your pocket. No, like, internet to just eat your brain. Oh, man.
October the 4th.
What happened?
Oh, mate, he all went a bit
started
weird.
The year with the dead internet theory, and I believe it's real now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which is the idea that most of the internet is now bot activity.
Oh, I mean...
So if you see a post where it's like, oh, my God, this is crazy, guys, listen to this, and then there's no sound on it, but it's got, like, 50,000 shares... and 50,000 likes and all of this shit. And it's like, yeah, and it's on everybody's feed. But when you click on it, there's no sound.
That would make me feel like I was in a weird game.
That's where we are. I think that's where we are now. I think there's more bots than people.
Oh, that's
so when somebody's commenting something negative, you can just go, you're not real.
That's crazy.
None of this is real. And then you can choose to do it in real life and be like, that camera's not real. And away it goes.
It does feel like a good comeback on Twitter these days when people just go, Twitter's not real. I was like, that's true.
I don't even come back. You just go, fucking loser. don't engage. That's the way to do it.
Just don't look. But we'll go back to a simpler time where it was more people than bots.
Oh, look. By all means, look, but just don't engage.
Yeah.
That's what they want. They want engagement. Fuck
you say that, but then I engage and then they don't reply.
Yeah, because that's you're engaging nicely. If you engage with like, I'll burn your house down, or here's your full address, you fucking loser, and dox them. It tends to get a bit more of a fiery response.
I might try that. You
probably don't dox people.
Too late. That's all I'm doing now. If you say something horrible to me, I'm going to print your address. October the 14th, 1996, we're doxing the year of this episode of Monday Nitro, in which number one, this particular week in the real world, number one movie in America was The Ghost in the Darkness. A historical adventure film directed by Stephen Hopkins, starring Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas.
Not a fucking clue.
No idea. It's a fictional account of the Savo Man-Eaters, a pair of male lions that terrorized workers in and around Savo, Kenya, during the building of the Uganda-Mombasa Railway in East Africa in 1898. Received mixed reviews and grossed $75 million. And we don't even remember what it was.
Received mixed reviews, grossed $75 million.
And a budget of 55, so it broke. At least it made a bit of cash. It got an award for best sound editing at the Academy Awards.
Good.
So well done to Bruce Stambler for doing that.
Well done, Bruce. Brucey boy.
Right, the number
Brucey
one
baby.
The number one movie in the UK is The Nutty Professor. There we go.
Still.
In Terra Firma.
I was about to say in January, but no, it's October.
It's October.
Like, are you fucking for real?
But yeah. So this is where like the time dilation is an issue, because we're talking in January. We're here in October. Bloody, we did the classic Raw review. You'll hear it on Monday. We're talking about Jingle All The Way for 20 minutes. It's fucking January. Jesus. Number one song in America, in the UK, is The Chemical Brothers and Setting Sun.
Nice. Chemical Brothers are about to become just fucking monumentally huge.
This
I can't
is
wait.
The beginning of something special. This song features vocals from Noel Gallagher.
Yeah.
Co-wrote with Tom Rowlands and Ed Simons.
Wait, which one's this?
Setting Sun.
Setting Sun?
Mm.
I know Let Forever Be with Noel Gallagher on it. I don't even heard.
Apparently Noel's on Setting Sun as well. Sold 99,000 copies during its first week. Debuted number one in the UK in the singles chart. Did all right in Finland. It reached the top 10 in Ireland and Sweden as well. Rolling Stone included it on their list of the 200 greatest dance songs of all time.
Rolling Stone can't get a guitarist list right. I don't trust them. He'd be like, top 100 guitarists of all time. And Machine Gun Kelly will be at like 25. And it's like, you've got no jazz musicians. You've got no fucking like virtuoso players other than Steve Vai and Joe Satriani. You fucking, I see yous. You've Googled some other fucking lists and whapped them together. Put some respect on fucking Robert Fripp.
He's going to have you. He's going to frit your Robert if you don't sort that list out. He is as well.
No, I just don't buy them anymore. I just don't buy Rolling Stone.
No.
As in you don't. I mean, it's hard to get.
As in you don't trust
anyway,
them, or you physically don't buy the magazine.
Oh, both. But yeah. if I'm in a Walmart, if I haven't been in a Walmart, I'll pick up like AP for old time's sake. I won't pick up Rolling Stone.
I was going to ask you what magazines do you still buy, like magazines when you go to America? Because there's certain magazines you get in America that you don't get over here that I always buy.
So I tend to pick up. I'll always pick up something mental, like Bow Hunting, just to sit and read on the plane. just a like a slice of life that we don't have, like guns and ammo. Just be like, wow, you can just buy this.
That's like I do like
German
doing
tank.
That.
So I'll get that. I tend to buy anything like music based, or like AP if I can get a hold of it, or what was the other one? Sports Illustrated, I enjoy as well. Because you can get it here, but it costs a fucking arm and a leg because you've got to import it, I think. And it's all online and stuff. But sometimes, like Sports Illustrated, like start the football season and stuff, it's always like good to grab.
I always get Mad magazine when I'm in America.
Mad's good.
I always get Mad because I just feel like, oh, look at this political comedy. Look how highbrow I am.
At the minute in the UK, I'm still getting stuff. I get Footy and Times. I'll pick up any weird magazine. If you've got to slap an alien on the front of it, I'll buy it.
That's how you get Sam's. That's how you get Sam's money.
I used to have a subscription to Metal Hammer, but I kind of fell off a bit with that. And then what else do I? Oh, Byline Times I pick up now.
Oh, yes, you told me about Byline.
Hey, do you want some independent news? Yeah, they fucking go. And then you'll find the stories that they break like 8 weeks later in normal press with a load of it scrubbed going, we didn't do anything wrong.
Oh, so they just go, wait, that's out there now. What do you want us to do about it? Oh, sneaky Byline.
It broke like all the Dan Wooten stuff, like way before it all kind of came out.
Oh.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the byline things getting shared.
This month's copy is about like the Met Police. Last month's was about Brexit and like just all of the kind of facts of the matter.
Oh, see, I feel like I might have to jump on byline just be ahead of the curve.
And Viz, gotta fucking buy Viz. Can't not buy Viz. Come on,
byline, so I know all the news is coming out now. And Viz, like it's probably probably northeast soil.
Viz, just want to catch up with Fat Slags.
Yeah, see what the Fat Slags are doing in this woke era. 11th of October in this particular year, after nearly 14 years, Channel 4 gets a new look, replacing the original coloured blocks with circular idents. Do you remember these? Like the circles appeared after. So Channel 4 in the UK had these iconic coloured blocks that flew into the screen and went bam bam. Bam, bam, and you knew you were watching Channel 4. And then they went, oh, there's some circles. Like, you pieces of shit. You've ruined my life. Well, you've ruined everything, no, you stupid bitch.
I will allow Channel 4 the indignity of the circles. No. Being the anti-mainstream they were at the time, still kind of, even though they were mainstream as fuck.
Yes.
But this is back when there were only four channels. Or were there five by this point?
I think some places got Channel 5 now.
On Digital was a twinkle in its dad's eye, but it was about to be blarted all over the country.
Channel 5 you could get if you had your VHS, you had to get your VHS player physically retuned. You had to get a man to come round and sort your telly and your VHS player done. Out. Oh, it's the same guy.
No, I think he's got done.
Is that what it was?
You get Channel 5 by having just the right bandwidth.
He gave
us
some magic beans as well.
Unless it was to record it, I don't know, like for an auto recorder or something, but it was like with us, because we were like halfway up a valley, couldn't really get it. You'd get it like all snowy, and then second we were at the top of a valley, you'd perfect crystal clear.
Oh,
so it was just about signal, and they weren't on certain bands and frequencies, so they'd be on this mast but not that mast, and then eventually they'd be on both masts, and then eventually the masts wouldn't really matter.
Did a weird man called Graham come round your house and fit your Channel 5?
Was anything missing from your house after he left?
I mean, my mum's jewellery, but we think that was probably my brother.
And my long-lost sibling.
And my mum.
They
mom.
Couldn't deal with Channel 5. They left a note and they just never returned.
Classic at cultaholic.com. Have I been robbed? In the wrestling world, all accounts throughout wrestling, according to Dave Meltzer and the Wrestling Observer, is that Randy Savage's WCW contract is up in mid-November. If he wins the title at Halloween Havoc, all those accounts were a ruse planted by WCW. If not, they're correct. So I love that. Like, there's lots of conversations now about how the reporters and the dirty sheets are being diddled and messed with, and
are being
and
what
diddled, like as in like messed with
the reporters.
No, the people who know reports it by the big companies. They're being told packs of lies.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I was like, what?
Your eyes lit up.
You were
like
going.
Christmas
I was like,
then.
What?
No, as in like, okay, maybe bad choice of words, but what I mean is, Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, led astray by diddlers. No, it's astray by the companies who go like, no, that's not happening. All our sources say that CM Punk's not coming back. Lol, just kidding, here he is.
But boss, what happens when one day the internet becomes so big and then there's just everywhere. There's just dirt sheets everywhere and they're all just repeating the same things and the stories are getting out faster than ever before. Don't worry, Timmy. That'll never happen. The wrestling industry is indestructible and impenetrable. The boys would never go running to an online outlet and tell everybody everything.
Besides, it'll all be bots soon anyway.
Exactly. So like, are we we sat on Reddit, you know, on your 17th long sigh of the hour, and you're just trying to reply to that one fucking Mark who just won't leave you alone. It's probably just a robot.
It is probably just a robot.
You're
a lot
probably just a robot.
I might be a robot.
I got into solipsism as well, which is the idea I'm just a brain in a jar and all of this is fake. Your
brain is creating it all.
Yeah, so like touching a table is just your brain knows that when you touch that, it's supposed to feel that way. So none of this is real. I'm just a jar.
Wow. Yeah. Where is your jar? Do you know?
No.
Oh, man.
Probably just in some puddle somewhere.
We might be in jars across the country.
We might be.
This might be like a big solipsistic Zoom call.
Yeah, well, there might just be a big, like, box outside of time and space with just trillions of brains.
Gosh.
And then, like, when you pass on, they just kind of plug you into a different box. So, and then you just wake up again, and it's just like, all right.
Certainly makes talking about the NWO feel somewhat insignificant, doesn't it?
But if we line them all up and we spray NWO all over all of this, Charles.
That's how Hulk Hogan is born. The thing is, should Savage go, a lot of money could go with him because Slim Jim are spending a fuck ton of money with WCW. $250,000 they have spent on Halloween Havoc alone. Mm. Because the show is called Slim Jim's Halloween Havoc. Slim Jim's logos all over the place. Big Slim Jim sweepstakes sponsorship going into it.
They don't need to worry about anything. They've already got Renegade. And as WWF proved before, you can shill Slim Jims just as easily with exactly the exact same amount of people definitely 100% going to buy it by just giving it to Warrior and having Warrior pretend to be Macho Man and not actually sell anywhere near as much.
I thought you were going to say, don't worry about, not forget Savage and Slim Jim, Renegade and Pepper Army.
No, Renegade's there for the cleanup. He's the Renegade.
Of course he is. He's the Renegade.
But... yeah, that's what WWF tried to do, wasn't it?
When you forgot about Renegade.
You had Warrior and Savage selling them at the same point, I think, in the early 90s. Mm-hmm. And then by the time Hogan leaves, I think when you've got Warrior's kind of doing a bit of Slim Jims,
Yeah, he kind of leans into it a little bit.
It's just nowhere near as catchy or as like, snap into it.
No one's done it quite like Savage. Not even L.A. Knight. He gave it a good shot, but he's not the guy.
He should be sued.
Now, do you reckon the estate of Poffo?
By the estate of Slim Jim. The estate of Slim Jim.
And James Slime.
How dare you?
The head of Slim Jim, James Slimer. As he's better known.
It's just Slime Giant. That's how it's pronounced.
Slime John. Slime James or Slime John?
Slime Jime.
Slime Jime. Slime Jime. There's also been a lot of segments taped with Liz to lead to Randy Savage and Liz getting back together. Should Savage stay? Oh, how do we see one of those segments tonight? Let's put a pin in that bad boy.
Put a pin in that one for sure.
Now, apparently, Bischoff did another chat on Prodigy, which was the old chat room back in the day.
Like voodoo people and Fat of the Land and... That was about this era, right?
Just chatting to the guys who brought Smack My Bitch Up.
Yeah, what a music video, man.
Now, Jerry Lawler made some pointed comments about WCW this week.
We're not talking about the Prodigy, are we?
We are. We're talking about Prodigy as in the internet chat room rather than the band.
It's not MSN Messenger.
It's sadly not. Can you remember one of your MSN Messenger screen names?
They were all mainly lyrics. We were like a group of people that just had lyrics as our fucking screen names. But
I strongly remember at one point mine was "If you smell what TJ Tonto is cooking," and I can't tell you how my body has curled up in on itself as I've said that out loud.
And you prolapsed through into a new person.
Whoa! Christ, I was a shit. It's fine. I'm 40 in a few weeks. It's further away than I would like it to be. Saying that a lot lately. Now, so Bischoff did a Prodigy chat and he was very upset with Jerry Lawler. Jerry Lawler has been on Memphis TV basically slagging off WCW, calling them rip-off artists because they've got Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon and Diesel, and they're pretending to be WWF. Jerry Lawler's about 3 weeks behind the conversation.
No, but he's going to go to bat for the company, isn't he? You know what he does.
Yeah. Jerry Lawler also said that WWF has done a better job at post-producing TV than WCW. They have more resources and more manpower.
And a bigger legal department and everything.
Yeah, that's it. And Bischoff has just called him. He said it's a pathetic situation with Jerry Lawler going on Memphis and slagging off WCW. And he says that they blow WWF away when it comes to live television. So he was very angry at Jerry Lawler.
I get that it's Memphis, and I get that it's an important part of the WCW kind of backstory, the NWA and all that, but ultimately it's the USWA. Who gives a shit at this point?
It's there.
I know that it's got, you know, it's still important. I'm not taking anything away from the fact that, you know, Memphis is one of the biggest wrestling territories in terms of importance out there. It's, you know, the history is rich, it's complex. Some of the greatest moments of that territory are still burned into the minds of people that are still around. And undeniably, Jerry Lawler was a massive star. But by this point, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's like a two-company race, isn't it?
It really is.
I mean, ECW's there as well, but unless if you're in in Europe, you barely hear about them. Mm. Barely see anything about them unless you pick up magazines.
And, you know, and Eric Bischoff here just ripping on another promoter in a very public forum. Again, how the world turns but doesn't change.
Look, all I'm saying is that had that happened and it was WCW going after USWA, right? Everybody would have been like, oh, whoa, okay. If it was Jerry Lawler, you know, going after Tony, not Tony Khan, Eric Bischoff,
what a Freudian slip.
Eric Bischoff in a chat room. I think that everybody'd be like, yeah, go on, get him, Jerry. But because it's me, Eric Bischoff, I get shit for some reason.
He's a funny man when he's on one on Twitter.
Just take his phone away from him. Could you imagine Vince tweeting that much?
No.
Usually it was happy birthday, Shane.
and then happy birthday to the greatest son-in-law of all time.
Yeah, you could fucking tell. It was all pre-scheduled media marketing team bullshit. But like, at least it was clear, because it would be like Vince saying, of course, on this awareness for this month, I'm celebrating by doing this, with a picture of Vince just not doing the thing that it said. Or like, it'd be so very corporate and very bland and very beige. But Tony's is just like, yeah, and it's a lot of fun to follow. But then sometimes it is just a bit like, what are you doing?
Stop it,
what
Tony.
Are you doing? What are you doing?
The one time I remember a Vince McMahon tweet that caught me off guard, and it's not even a bad tweet.
Yeah.
It was NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool.
Yeah.
And I think it was Pete Dunne versus Joe Coffey, maybe? And the crowd, it was a great match, really good match. And the crowd in Blackpool were chanting, are you watching? Are you watching? Are you watching Vince McMahon? Are you watching Vince McMahon? And there was a tweet that popped up from Vince, a screen grab from the match. He went, yes, I was watching. And it was awesome. I was like, ah, oh, that's nice.
Vince's assistant was watching.
Vince's assistant was watching the match. Same person that did my Channel 5 VHS.
Vince shook Mick Foley's hand when he walked into the company and said, I've been a huge fan of yours for a very long time. Hadn't seen apparently a single fucking match.
I can buy that. I can believe
met
that.
Paul Heyman's parents for the first time. I think the same time he met Paul Heyman, one of the first times. Turns up at the house in a limo, shakes his parents' hands, tells them that Paul's going to be a megastar. He's one of the brightest stars in wrestling today, et cetera, et cetera. Had never seen anything of Paul's.
Oh.
was just like telling his parents that he's like a fucking
star. Bet his parents were glowing.
Oh, God, yeah. God. When Vince just rocks up at your house.
That's lovely.
Just running around New York.
That is nice. Anyway, so Eric Bischoff / Tony Khan had a chat in Prodigy and had a go at Jerry Lawler. Fair point, well made. Nobody really knows. Don't hinder Jinder. According to The Observer, nobody really knows how the Time Warner merger will affect WCW. There is talk about having two Clash of the Champions moved from TBS to HBO.
So
however,
what's this effect on it?
However, the Time Warner side isn't crazy about the idea of pro wrestling on HBO. They're not crazy about pro wrestling at all.
Well, I get the idea of not being crazy about an HBO, because this is a point in time when HBO was... I mean, HBO is still a mark of standard, but HBO back in the day was like, you know, it was where your elite level boxing happened.
Yes.
It was like a... It had that kind of premium feel to it, more so than it does now, and it still has that kind of premium feel to it. But... I get not wanting wrestling, maybe because wrestling at the time, and it still does today in certain like circles, but at the time wrestling had a very, it's awfully common, isn't it? It's awfully lowbrow. It's awfully for the stupid people. It's for people that, you know, I would never watch it. It's for people that like monster trucks and stuff. And it's like, it still has a bit of that. But I think that back then it was very kind of wrestling. So it doesn't surprise me that. It's only, a matter of a few years now until it all goes bye-bye.
There is that. I think we've talked about, in terms of that mentality about wrestling, I think we talked about this on the Raw review, maybe on here as well, about how Raw gets preempted for the Westminster Dog Show throughout the 90s. The ratings for the dog show are dog shit compared to Raw, but the advertisers spend more money.
Yes.
Because it's more highbrow to sponsor a dog show.
Because those people can afford, to the advertisers, they feel those people can afford a brand new car. They can afford a brand new TV. They can afford premium brands and premium clothing. And for wrestling fans, they just feel like, well, can we advertise a pizza? No. You got a 20 quid PS1 game? Yeah. Okay. We'll advertise that. Snickers? Yeah. And it's for whatever reason, wrestling gets lumped into that low income demographic, which is why you see WWE now trying as hard as they can to really broaden their demographic as massively as possible, right down to, you know, moving away from metal to more pop music, just trying to make it as general and as big and as global a product as possible, because they can turn around and go, we have every demographic. Yeah. Give us all of your fucking money.
Come on, Amazon, sign us up, baby.
I hope it is Amazon.
The talk is that Amazon may be the new home of Monday Night Raw this week in the real boring world of wrestling in 2024. I could see that happening.
It'd be nice to be able to just whap a VPN on and watch it the next morning before coming into work, rather than having to wait months. Fucking months.
NordVPN. Now, they're not sponsoring us yet. On to Monday Nitro for the 14th of October, 1996. We're in Memphis, Tennessee, which explains why Eric Bischoff was keen to shout down Jerry Lawler's.
And explains why there's a guy in the front row with a crown who keeps holding it up as violently as he can throughout the evening.
He's a big Jerry Lawler fan, that lad at the front. We're in the Mid-South Coliseum, legendary wrestling home. Some great stories have been told here, and we're about to tell some more. Larry and Tony chat about Randy Savage. Larry says that Liz is turning Macho Man into an emotional vegetable.
Randy is a vegetable. There's your first headline of the episode.
Now, how can he be a vegetable and a land-to-air missile?
And a Slim Jim spokesman.
And a Slim Jim spokesman.
I think that Lala is speaking out of turn.
Yeah.
And I think he should be thankful that I've only caught this now. If I'd caught this back in the day, there'd have been some severe shit.
You'd have been snapping his vegetable.
We'd have set off Randy Savage, basically, in the building. Pointed at Larry.
Launch Randy Savage into Zabisco. This is the best episode of Nitro.
Cuts to Jerry Lawler just enjoying some wings on the street, like somewhere downtown. And just as the skyline just goes up.
Larry and Tony recap NWO battering Randy Savage whilst holding Liz and making her watch. Very uncomfortable
scenes.
You
are my property, Liz Lay. You are my property, says Hulk Hogan.
Not Giant Haystack, just definitely Hulk Hogan. NWO placards already being waved high in the crowd. It's going to be one of them nights.
Now, like, it was fun when it happened spontaneously and it was like, whoa, what's this? But when it's every fucking week and they're coming out just before the match starts, and
that
make you feel more fake.
That plus the opening match of Dean Malenko versus Brad Armstrong made Sam message me going, have we watched this episode already?
Genuinely, because they even show a fucking flashback to what I thought was the exact same match that they showed a flashback to last time. It's like, no, they're just having a great time whapping these two together in the exact same match every week. And this time, Wall Street's got slightly different hair.
Now, I had a moment when I was watching it, because I had because I woke up early this morning, knowing that we were going to do this. I thought, I'll get up because I've got a few podcasts to record today. I'll get up extra early. I'll watch Nitro, prepare my notes. And I started watching it going, this feels familiar. And then I checked. I'd watched this episode before Christmas. I was prepped. I was like, I'll get in. I'm going to play Mario Odyssey for 45
Delicious.
Minutes. So I did. And I'm happy. And then as I was walking back from grabbing my superfood salad, because Jesus Christ, I'm turning 40 this year and I need to sort my life out. And I'm getting married. I need to fit into a suit. And then you message going, have we watched this one before? I went, oh no, I've made a terrible error. Oh no. And it turned out it's all fine. But the opening match is Dean Malenko and Brad Armstrong. Dean still has the mask of Rey Mysterio, the rotter.
He very erotically just slides it over that ring post. Just... And then he kisses it with his full mouth and everything, and Armstrong's sort of looking at him like, what the fuck? And Dean starts whispering in its ear.
Sam did watch a different episode of Nitro to me, because whilst that was what you thought when I saw that, because I've been playing Mario Odyssey, I went, oh, this is where he takes control of the ring. Where Mario whaps his hat on stuff.
No, he was just telling the mask what it was going to be placed over next. And it wasn't going to be a ring post.
Oh, God. It's got a very wide...
Didn't say to fill it out.
It's a useless prophylactic. Big NWO chant. As Dean and Brad have a very technical encounter. The world isn't ready for technical wrestling yet. We want it to be.
The audience kind of hang with it here.
Yeah.
Which is quite nice, because usually it's just the audience are having like a big nap during any form of technical encounter. But
it is true.
I think they're so used to seeing Malenko just come down and I guess just steamroll people.
Yeah.
It's one of those where Powers being able Armstrong being able to hang and go back and forth and really sort of not put Malenko to his limit, but always have a response to everything Malenko's bringing, I think makes it more of an exciting encounter.
And Bradders does have a response, and he does look good here. Missile dropkick, sunset flick, side suplex for near falls. But Dean wins out of nowhere with a quarter Nelson and a lovely tight three count.
Mm.
I thought it was a really lovely little finish, so much so that the Valvoline replay is indeed the lovely roll-up that we get.
The Valvoline replay.
Hi, I'm Valvoline Replay. I believe she read the news in America. Lovely little technical match to get us going, albeit somewhat familiar.
Yeah.
Because Dean and Brad have had a bit of back and forth in the cruiserweight division.
Yeah, we're kind of seeing these feuds just extend.
It's like Dean and his...
Don't worry, there's like 2 weeks till the pay-per-view still, so...
Jesus Christ. Yeah. Deborah and Mongo are flogging the WCW Nitro denim shirts. Quote from Deborah, my husband's in the A&F
My husband's in the A&F and he wore denim t-shirts all the time.
It's not a t-shirt, Deborah.
My husband's got a Super Bowl ring when he was in the NFL.
And then she's just going to chuck him and get with Steve Austin.
It really is. Deborah, my husband was not in the NFL. Deborah says, you can never have too much money or too many blue Nitro t-shirts in your wardrobe. $40 in 1996 money. I think I'll be happy with just the one. She says, you can't have too many. I think you can have too many. Can you have too many denim shirts in your wardrobe?
No. I don't think you can.
No.
You've just got to commit to the lifestyle. You've got to like double denim all the time.
It's for like opening the wardrobe, just all night. Yeah. What shall I wear today?
You've got full blown denim.
like
you've got to have the hair to match as well. You've got to have like a mullet.
Mullet.
Really long mullet.
You pull out the wardrobe and it's just all denim shirts and then all denim jeans.
All denim shoes.
All
denim socks, denim underwear, and just for no reason, like a tiger stripe hat.
It's a look and a half.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
The NWO arrive in a pair of limousines.
Two whole limos. Oh, they're big boys.
Hogan does not want to ride with Virgil because
should he?
Because
fucking, could you imagine telling Hogan that? Or you got to get in the limo with Virgil? I'd be like, Virgil, are you for fucking real? He should, what? What titles has he held?
How
many houses did he sell out? He should be sitting on the back of like the like in like a, I don't know, like some Jackass style cart with the Nasty Boys and anybody else who's just kind of like around the situation. Ted maybe gets to kind of hold onto the back of the bonnet a bit. Back boot, sorry.
Just packed in.
He's sort of in. He's got like one arm through the sunroof and they keep handing him a drink because he at least did something. But the others,
yeah. Plus, he would get in the way when Hogan and Nash start
fucking.
No,
Ted probably paid for the limo and doesn't want to be there for the slamming. So like, that's why he's hanging out the back like this. And he's the one holding on to the cart with the Nasty Boys and Virgil in it. Like, oh,
Ted's
God.
Like, Ted's like, I've bought the limo. I don't know what you're doing it. I'll just hang on the back with the Nasties.
It would have been funnier if the second limo was being towed by the first limo, though. I think that would have been. It was just a big bit of rope between them.
It's like a toy limo that follows them.
Engine's not even turned on. Just
a limo being towed, and then Vincent in a little Smoby kid's car along the side.
The little tykes one.
Painted black and white.
In fairness, if you cleared the pedals out, so he'd have to Flintstones it, but if he was inside, if he cleared the pedals out, he could stand up with that on, his head could go through the sunroof, and it could be like impenetrable body armor. So...
He's like a transformer.
Yeah, but then his only weakness then is sort of like a turtle, except instead of not being able to get up, if you kick him on his back, he just rolls forever. So you want to get him at the top of the ramp and kick him as hard as you can, and then he'll go flying.
There's two things I liked about all that. The idea of him falling on the back like a turtle and you using Flintstone as a verb.
You know what I mean?
I knew exactly what you meant, though. Yeah. And then Flintstone it. Oh, right. Little clip of WCW Saturday Night. Jim Duggan, Roni Pizza using tape.
This was the point that I was convinced. I was like, I've fucking seen this episode before. I've seen this episode before. And no, we've just seen this match 100 times.
We have. Duggan, Roni Pizza beats Michael Wall Street on WCW Saturday Night. But Nick Patrick reverses it and gives it to Wall Street because he used the evil tape. They're going to have a big rematch to sort it out now.
Doug Aroni should stop using the tape.
He shouldn't. No.
There's a real risk that that tape could fall into the pizza. And then we've got a cross-contamination lawsuit.
Oh.
There's all sorts. Where's the tape been? It's been down his pants all the match.
Oh, I never thought of
it's
that.
Been down my pants all day while I've been cooking. That's a spicy pizza.
Oh, Christ. That's...
And yeah, he wipes that out to punch a customer who's been unruly. And a bit of that ball sweat just goes all over that dough. Oh. Some poor person just doesn't realise.
How do I get an STI from my pizza?
That's why Nick Patrick's got the neck brace on. It's got nothing to do with the neck injury. It's just so inflamed in there. He's such a big pizza eater. And he trusted Doug Aroni.
It's inflamed.
And oozing.
Fucking Patrick just bubbling away under that.
That's why they call him Foamy Patrick.
I've never heard anyone call him Foamy Patrick. I missed that meeting. Wall Street is wearing down Doug Aroni, pepperonying him with punches.
Can you imagine Doug Aroni and Mean Gene working in the same shop? If Mean Gene worked for Doug Aroni's shop, there'd be just DNA on everything.
You know what I love about doing this show with you, Sam, is that, right, there's new people coming in all the time. I feel like if you're, you know, have you ever jumped into a Netflix series, like season 3, episode 5?
Yeah.
That's what this feels
is,
like.
Yeah.
To people who've come in. you've got to go back and discover the lore.
It's just deep end. It'll come out eventually. Yeah. Just keep listening and we'll get round to it.
We might explain it again, we might not.
And then we forget about shit all the time. Somebody tweeted me the other day about... something I'd gone off on a rant about Dragon. I think it was about starting the promotion where it's at sea.
There was a promotion
at sea. It started off as a ring in a pool. And then it turned into, no, let's just put it in like a bay. And then I just drop a ring in the middle of the water. And then a helicopter comes by every couple of weeks. And then it was, let's just tow it around the world. So it's a constant world tour.
And then you made it even more aggressive.
They're not allowed to leave.
Yeah, you had armed people with guns pointed.
Oh, yeah, there's like towers.
If they tried
to. Eventually it ends up with sort of barges surrounding it and water mines. You know, the ones, the big spiky ones, that if you touch them, they go.
I just want to go home with my family.
Yeah, well, don't lose the Rumble match.
Don't lose this match, by the way, you're losing it.
By the way, what's the time limit on this? Time limit? And then you kick them out to sea. And then you just walk up to it, their kid, and you just hand on shoulder and go, I'm sorry, son, your dad's dead. And then it's like, no, he's out there. Just, no.
We'll let you know ahead of time.
Just thought we'd let you know.
Wall Street is wearing down Duggan. He puts a headlock on for about a lifetime.
Yeah.
But Duggan breaks free, counters a top rope, nothing. He goes for the tape once more, the wrist tape that turns his punch into a mega punch because wrestling. Wall Street, however, strikes him.
Mm.
Starts wrapping his own hand with tape. The same tape, same cross-contaminated tape.
And now Wall Street's going to have an inflamed and oozing hand. This is how Jim's going to win the title.
He doesn't get a chance to use it, though. He gets all the germs on it, but Duggaroni lands a three-point stance, clothesline anyway, and gets the decisive three over Michael Wall Street. MK Wall Street.
Tunda.
VK Wall Street. IRS. Tunda. It's IRS.
Mr. Taxman.
The Taxman. Jim Duggaroni getting a win here. A bit of a nothing match, but always nice to see
always
Duggan
nice
on.
Nice to see Duggan win.
Nice to see Duggan on. He always fucking wins. Hugh Morris in action next. How do you like me now? Says Hugh in his lovely new jacket.
And then the camera jib goes mental.
It does go a little bit weird.
It collides with the set or something because the camera starts losing its balance and it goes...
As Jim Powers is heading to the ring.
Like the camera doing this.
As Hugh Morris' opponent, Jim Powers, heads to the ring. It's like the camera tries to look anywhere except at Jim Powers.
Well, the NWO's told us that he's a gassed up nobody. So why should the camera care?
Why should they? He's absolutely, it's a good point. The camera doesn't. Or the camera fancies him. So he's like too shy.
Oh, Jim.
Too shy to look at you. Oh, too shy. Tony Schiavone on commentary thanks Jerry Lawler for putting people in seats tonight. They'll see him at the flea market. So that's a nice little nod to Jerry Lawler slagging off Memphis.
Yeah.
That's nice. Tony Schiavone went, he slagged off our product and it did really well. I'll remember that lesson and I will never repeat it ever again. See you in a few years, Tony.
Ooh.
Yeah. Jim Powers overpowers Morris until Hugh lands a lovely lariat. Tony informs us that Ric Flair is back home recovering from the attack last week and awaiting MRI results. We're not going to see Flair for a bit.
No, he's out injured, isn't he?
Yeah, so we'll miss him. We'll miss him greatly. Or will we? We'll find out next week. We'll have an announcement tonight about who will replace Flair in his match against the Giant at Halloween Havoc. Because the Giant is having a one-on-one with someone at Havoc and it's not Flair. Powers up, but it's clear that Nick Patrick is counting slowly for Powers.
No, it's quite clear that Teddy Long won't shut the fuck up about Patrick's counting. The man's injured.
It was a
He's got a gratuitously inflamed internal neck.
From all that Duggaroni pizza.
From all that Duggaroni pizza and
I don't
extra
know if
cream.
I don't know how much I like pizza to risk an inflamed neck.
Well, he wasn't, you know, it's not like somebody told him, you can eat that, but it's going to give you all of the next TIs. So like
next the ice.
Teddy's getting up there and getting all fucking like, you're counting too slowly there, mate. Count faster. Become a fucking referee yourself, Teddy. Yeah? How about you do that?
How about you do that, Teddy?
And then you can count all of the pins, eh? Eh? Teddy? Eh? You won't though. I bet you won't.
As Teddy does take umbrage, it leads to Morris landing a backdrop and a moonsault for an easy three count onto Jim Powers. And then Teddy gets into a screaming match with Patrick afterwards.
He has a cry. I want this match running again right now. And Powers is like, I have an oozing esophagus.
Why is he oozing?
Listen to it. It's making noises. Listen. And Teddy's like listening going, no, it's not.
Why has Jim Powers got the oozing next to the eyes?
That's Duggan's fault.
But Duggan's been nowhere near him.
Well, didn't know. He said Jim Duggaroni pizza, DNA, pizza inside of Powers' neck gives him an XTI.
So because Duggan was in the ring?
No.
Okay.
Patrick was eating, clearly, some of the Duggaroni pizza on one of the days where he went to punch a customer, put the tape on his hand.
Okay.
And therefore, all of the DNA has gone into the dough. Because he threatens the guy and then gets back to making Nick Patrick's pizza with the tape on his hand.
Ah, it all becomes clear. So that's why Jim... Jim Powers has an oozing neck.
No, 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 Jim Powers, unless he goes and eats some of the pizza.
I thought you said Jim Powers had an oozing neck.
No, Patrick.
Oh, policy.
Yeah, no, Powers didn't have an oozing neck.
That's why I was confused. Like, how did Jim Powers get an oozing neck?
No, Powers doesn't have an oozing neck.
Oh, thank God. But Nick Patrick...
He's just got a problem with Kevin Nash for some reason. I couldn't imagine why.
I don't know why. They seem to get on really well. In-ring action continues. It's Greg the Hammer Valentine taking on Leg Luger. We got a little recap of last week. Arn beating Luger with a chair quite badly as he was heading back to the rings, back to the backstage area. Luger's got rib tape on, but he's hanging in there against Greg the Hammer Valentine. A tough old opponent is Greg. That is until he tries a suplex. And he goes, oh, me ribs, me oozing ribs.
My oozing ribs. No, no. Hammer's just trying to tenderize the meat.
Is that, yeah. He is indeed. Because as we know, a hammer is the name of somebody that has an interest business-wise in ham. They're a hammer.
Well, it's like a passion. It's like a lifelong. People are painters. Some people are musicians. Some people are hammers.
Sat there with a red brand.
People go and do full-blown like PhD courses on wine and wine tasting. Right? He did the same. But for slices of pig.
Did ham taste, yeah. Of course. this is definitely... what's the name of that ham that looks like a bear?
Beautiful glaze. This is definitely... this is like Bertie the Bear ham or some shit. Yeah. This is definitely Bertie the Bear.
Definitely like,
well,
bologna.
Done. How could you tell? And he just holds it up.
Oh, it's a good vintage.
And now I almost got mistaken with this one here, which is clearly a Thomas and Friend.
I remember Thomas the Tank.
Just a big sausage of Thomas the Tank Engine's terrifying face, just out of meat, just going at the deli section.
Quietly put your ears, you can just hear him saying, kill me.
Kill me now before Duggaroni puts me on a PC.
My life is pain. The haunting face of Thomas the Tank. Baloney.
If you ran like a pizza shop and somebody was really insulting to you, I think, and they ordered ham on the pizza, you'd be well within your rights to always have a pack of Bertie Bear ham. Because if they were an absolute fucking bell end and they ring up and they're just a dick, take all the ham off their order and just whack that on.
You've got the Bertie Bear now.
Just whack it under the grill and now you've got like torched, charred Bernie the Bear ham or whatever. Just go when you try and
that's
eat it.
That's terrifying. It would be funny if you worked in a delicatessen.
What if you like cut his mouth open and then put little olive or onion bits in for teeth? And
Oh!
You made it look like just a dying Bernie the Bear.
I'd have it so you work. Have it so you work in a delicatessen, and if there's a staff member that's leaving,
yeah,
don't announce that they're leaving to any of the regular customers, and then one day they're gone, and then there's a new ham with the shape of their face.
What if that's what they do? What if they turn old deli workers into the bear meat?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing that says they don't.
Oh, that's true. There was something else that just popped into my head there. What was it?
Is it the joke about the butcher who says, oh, I had to sack my assistant. I caught him with his dick in the bacon slicer.
Nope.
And he says, what happened to the bacon slicer? He said, I sacked her as well.
No, it was
Is it that one?
It was
all right, fair enough. Caught him with his dick in the ham slicer. Why isn't Greg's finisher the ham slicer?
He should just bring a deli slicer to the ring and just take his opponent, just take his opponent to the ham slicer.
Put his knob in it.
It's either that or he just takes like the heel of their boot and just takes a bit off so they can't compete properly.
And it eats in front of them.
Yeah, just grades it.
Sadly, all of this is nowhere near as exciting as Greg Hammer Valentine versus Lex Luger. Apologise, Hammer and Luger is less exciting than what we're describing. Arn Anderson is watching the match backstage. We're getting Arn versus Leg, which is making Greg Hammer's mouth water at Halloween Havoc. Ted DiBiase and Vincent appear in the crowd. Tony gets handed a note that says Hulk Hogan is making an announcement tonight.
Yeah,
who knows? Hammer's hammering on Luger's back, but he pushes back to Luger with an atomic drop and a forearm. And somehow, Luger, with injured ribs, gets the hammer up in the rack for the tap out.
Big pop as well.
Big pop for the... The
big
rack
pop.
Is over like
the
Rover.
Rack is over.
Rack's over, baby. Tony Schiavone then talks to Nick Patrick. The fine for Randy Savage has been reduced to $500,000 and a five-match ban.
I thought it was just $500.
I got $500K here.
I thought it was $500.
Well, either $500 or $500,000. And 5-match ban at some point.
Yeah, okay, well, he's going to miss the first 5 matches of 97, I think they said.
Nick Patrick then calls the board spineless jellyfish, and he will get his legal staff on it. We then get a recap of NWO Saturday night. So NWO Saturday night was taped before they taped for Saturday night.
Yeah.
Just an empty arena, and it's just NWO with a masked referee beating up some losers.
Yeah.
Nice little idea for a show. Maybe as a one-off, don't do it again. Now, there is some question marks over the referee, a very tall man with a mask on. Looks like Nick Patrick.
I think it's Mabel.
Mabel's looking Meltzer. Very different.
Meltzer, he's in a mask, you can't tell.
That's true.
But Meltzer said he'd be the third man. He got that mistake and he's the referee.
And that is still the third man.
But because he's got a mask on, he can't tell. If he took it off, you'd immediately be like, oh, it's Mabel.
His body just, oh, it's Mabel.
Well, it's, the mask does things, right? The mask does things to your perception. Like, so, you don't see Mabel at all. Like, because, you know, it's a mask. You're like, who the hell's that?
Who's that?
And the second he whacks it off, it's like, oh, Jesus Christ, of course.
Well, that explains why Patrick denied the accusations that he was the referee.
Because he's innocent. He's got a very inflamed inner throat.
My throat is oozing from the Duggaroni pizza next to the eyes. Did all the customers that night get next to the eyes?
Well, it depends if Duggan cleaned his hands and took the tape off.
Well, I hope he did.
Probably
not. You can poison an entire town if you're not careful.
Maybe that's what he wants. Maybe he's into that.
Just there's a town. There's a town in America somewhere with oozing necks. Mike Anus walks to the ring.
Real quick, do you reckon, like, if you were on the deli, you could just go mad on your last day and just pick up the Bernie the Bear ham and just, like, just shag threaten it. People with it as you leave? Just like, I've got a fucking ham. I've got a fucking bear ham. Don't come near me. Just wielding it like a fucking weapon.
Or
also, have you seen... Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, you wrap the Bertie Bear ham in a paper bag, so it's quite long in a paper bag. You go into the bank,
yeah,
and you just go up to the teller and just go, you want to take all your money out of your bank account, and you just say, give me all the money.
Yeah.
And no context. And they just give me all the money and put it in this bag.
Yeah.
It just happens to be a bag that you bought from the St. Warren's Agricultural Group. Yeah. So it just says swag. So you just put it all in that. So you're there with your paper bag, the swag,
yeah.
Put all the money in the bag. Well, just miscommunication.
You've just given me another idea there. I think somebody should steal a Bertie the Bear ham.
Yes.
I'm condoning this. Steal a full one, the big meat sausage of it.
Yeah.
Right? It's got to be about that long. Get yourself a nice basket, a nice blanket. Cut it in a way where it's kind of like about head size, right?
No.
And then what you're going to do is you're going to put it in the basket, cover it in blankets, and just have the head facing forward, but cover it with the blanket so that when somebody lifts it up, they see the ham like it's a head. And you're going to leave it on the fire station doorstep. Ring the doorbell and run away. And they'll be like, oh my God, somebody's left a baby. And then it's, that's not a baby.
It's the most beautiful baby I've ever seen.
They raise it. They raise that.
Like, 30 fucking, years later, there's a knock at the door.
Like montage music playing. Fucking, they've got, this is Bertie the Bear ham baby in like a fucking fireman's outfit. Pulling the horn and shit.
You laugh, yeah. But in 30 years' time, when there's a knock at the door, stood there in a full suit.
Finally.
Father!
You became the man I always wanted you to be. Have a whiskey, sit down.
You became the ham I always wanted you to be.
And then, at the same time, you've seen the other bear-based product at the minute.
Oh.
So, like, you know, when we were kids, we had, like, candy cigarettes and cool shit.
Yes.
And BNBNs, where it was like, eat my face. Now they've got these like bears that you eat that are like, the advert's got like a bear in it. And the advert's like, hey, I'm Barney the Bear or whatever. And then the adverts are always fucking hilarious because it's like, he's like a chocolate cake.
Oh, is it like a Kinder product?
No, it's like a cake bar thing, but with like chocolate running through the middle, like a Twinkie, basically. Nice. But it's in the shape of a bear. And he's like, yeah. And he's like wearing a little stripy shirt and stuff. But the adverts were always hilarious because it's like a load of kids playing with this animated bear and they're like, yeah, and all having fun and everything and partying and like playing in a park and playing sports and doing all the shit that you usually see in adverts. And then at the end of it, it's just like, now eat me. And they all just like bite his head off and eat him.
Fucking hell.
It doesn't quite go that hard from him. There's a very gentle transition of like, Barney the Bear is the best friend ever for a lunch. And then it just cuts to a kid just biting his head off. And it's just like, yeah, Barney the Bear, eat my flesh, that's consume me.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
I would not want to eat that bear.
No, he's very popular.
I bet.
Yeah.
Love you, Barney. What? No! Jesus! He
should have been biting his legs off first and putting him back on the table. Where's the gold, Barney?
Where's the gold?
I told you it was the ham bear, it wasn't me.
Wrong answer. Oh, my God. This is a roller coaster this week. Mike Anus!
Yes, Anus is out.
To the ring he walks, he gets pyro because he's walking out at the same time as the start of hour two of Nitro. Only time that Mike Anus will ever get pyro.
I don't know. You know,
no, he won't.
I think Mike Anus has got a bright future ahead of him with Dick and whoever else, Balls Mahoney.
Dick, Anus and Balls.
We need somebody who can be the Grundle. Who's going to be the Grundle? Has anybody got the surname Grundle in wrestling? Mike Grundle.
Mike?
Tommy Grundle.
Tommy. Could you use Jeeves?
Or Gooch. Somebody Gooch?
Gooch.
Jeeves could just be called Gooch now.
Jeeves could be called Gooch.
Yeah, just call him Gooch.
Jeeves is Gooch.
So we got like Balls, Dick, Anus, and Gooch. Yeah.
Need a female wrestler called Fanny.
Yes. Yeah.
Adams. it's Mike today and Bobby Heenan tonight. Bischoff is going to try and speak to Randy Savage, so that's why he's not there. Bischoff does speak to Randy Savage on the ramp.
Hey, Randy. How you doing, pal? Just
so
want
like
to
Matthew,
emotion-
then. How
just,
you doing, pal?
Just want to emotionally abuse you for a second.
Now, this bit. So Mike Anus is fighting Randy Savage. So Mike Anus has made his full entrance. And here's Randy Savage. He is in a great mood. Oh, yeah, here we go. I'm one for it to go.
He's wearing black and white. So genuinely, part of me was like, Eric's seen this backstage and he's now going to have a very public. Now, I see you wearing black and white there, are you? Huh? Eh? Do you want a job, Randy, do you? That $500 fine, yeah, that's going up again.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking wearing black and white. Who do you think you are, Hulk Hogan?
Bite your legs off like Barney the Bear.
He already told you. Only he gets to wear black and white and his 11 mates, not you. And he gets to bang your wife. What's going on? It was fine when Flair was doing it.
It's true. She was mine before she was yours, Randy. Savage tells Bischoff that Hogan is in the building, so let's start Halloween Havoc early! He is excited to be here tonight. Bischoff asks about Liz and tells Randy to watch the screen. Eric Bischoff then gestures to a fucking 90s as fuck fat back telly been wheeled in like at school onto the ramp of
Nitro.
You're
about to have a good fucking morning watching some Brum, some Come Outside, and some random BBC educational crap.
No, we're not, because we are watching a soft-focused party political broadcast from the Elizabeth is Sorry party. Liz, we get footage here of Liz, and it is shot in like soft focus, like a country music video.
Oh, they've slapped a nice amount of Vaseline on that lens, yeah.
She's sat on a swing, and she's saying to the camera that sorry will never be enough. She wishes that Randy Savage could forgive her.
I'm here back at the house that we shared, build all our memories together in, ran, bo, ban.
She's the one who has to live with all the choices that she has made. She says, I'm lost and I need you, Randy. And
you're not lost. You're at the house. You had all the memories
you
together.
You literally know where you are.
You literally know where you are.
But I think by this point, it cuts away and she's just like stood by a lake.
Yeah.
And it just looks like a party political broadcast. Is the only way I can describe it. It doesn't feel natural. It feels like it just...
This message was paid for by Liz for president.
Liz is acting her head off. Randy looks like he is about to cry watching this video from Liz.
And he just straight up says, you keep your nose out, you grubby cunt, Eric. Filming my wife on a swing, you absolute nonce. No, he doesn't. It would be funny if he did.
I was about to say, I think I missed that bit. Randy, who a second ago had all the energy in the world, has had it all sucked out of him by like a Henry Hoover of emotion. He wanders off backstage in a bit of a daze. He then returns, walks a bit down the ramp.
Stinks again, kind of does that, and turns around.
And then walks back again. And I'll just put here, well done, Eric Bischoff. You have ruined Nitro.
Again!
Yeah,
well done. You got the crowd hyped. Except this time they actually got to see the entrance, and you know that will have been the defense. This time they got to see him come out.
And then
they didn't get to see him fucking wrestle, did they?
Mike Anus wins by default.
Mike Anus holding a victory over Savage. Even by default.
I'd have that. I'd have that fucking hung in the Louvre, I would.
Just a picture of the victory, just him alone in the ring going, still in his Empress jacket.
Mike Anus by count out defeats Randy Savage. Randy Savage hops into a waiting limo and he leaves.
A white limo, so it's not the same as the NWO one, just to differentiate.
Yeah, it's a baby-faced limo. Yeah. So Randy Savage is very much torn at the thought of having Liz back. Liz really wants him back. Savage doesn't quite know what to do with himself. This Liz has spent all his money.
Yeah, I mean, like, you'd say, all right, Liz, well, you know, you spent $40 million. You get that back, maybe we'll talk. Eric, come here and snap him in half like a Slim Jim. For the crowd that likes old school wrestling, they'd love to see some intestines.
They'd love some intestines.
They'd love a bit of spinal column. A bit of spinal go home theory. With just a little fragment of it. You never stop talking about it. You tell your grandkids. I was there when Eric Bischoff got snapped in half and before they sellotaped him back together. But you know, like,
I got some of his spinal fluid on my shirt. Look at that, it's still oozing.
And then I went to Jim Duggaroni Pizza and I got some other fluid and that's why I'm confined to this bed now forever.
Oh my God! For 30 years, bed bound.
Iron lung. Just
fuck it.
It was some good pizza there.
Well, wow, what's in that pizza that's left him in an iron fucking lung?
Takes one bite and just bang.
Fucking red light all the way to the amp to A&E. He had a Duggaroni pizza. Jesus Christ, get him straight into surgery.
Red lights is like the speed and like fucking then for some reason they have to keep waiting at the lights even though they're an ambulance.
Oh. He's in an iron lung from eating Duggaroni pizza.
Well, we got to start talking about the lawsuits. They're going to come out eventually.
All 7,000 people that ate Duggaroni pizza the day that he had his wanky tape on his hands.
He's still got the restaurants, though. You know, he's wily. He bounced back.
People still keep going. I don't get it.
An entire group of people are sitting there going, what the fuck? I'd have turned this off by now.
If you made it this far, stick with
well
it.
Well done.
Like, it's a proper crapshoot going to Jim Duggaroni Pizza.
It is, yeah. Sometimes it's the best pizza you've ever had. Sometimes it's an iron lung for life.
I mean, it's worth the risk.
Yeah. Sometimes it gives you skills, like metal bones and stuff.
Hang on. This is a new bit of the law. So the pizza, yeah. It can either leave you in an iron lung or turn you into fucking Wolverine.
Basically, yeah. But it's sort of like, it selects you. I guess it's like, are you good enough? Are you worthy?
It selects you!
Are you worthy of the powers?
Hammer and Thor.
Or are you worthy of disease? He's rooting out evil and weakness. Unless a bad guy eats it and gets the metal bones, at which point, some people turn invisible. Some people just get like an extra massive willy. It's just a Jim Duggaroni has some amazing pizzas, but they probably shouldn't be tried. Probably.
Oh,
unless you're certain that's the big willy one. Well, yeah.
This is a new bit
it
of
could
the...
mean that you're in an iron lung for life.
This is a great new bit of the law.
Also, metal bones can't be that good. You go swimming. Just be like,
you just can't swim. Yeah. Can Wolverine swim?
Probably not.
No.
Probably. He's strong.
He's strong, but he'd be...
Plus, he's hardly going to die, is he?
That's true, because he can't die, can he?
Yeah, well, he's not really. Just heal.
just heal from death.
Got to whap his head off, I think. That's the only way.
Is that the only way to kill him?
I think
he won't grow a new head.
No.
Snicked.
Well, he'd grow a new body, wouldn't he, from the head?
But for a while, he's got little legs.
Yeah.
That's that Duggaroni pizza effect for you. Bischoff joins Tanay and Bobby on commentary.
Finally, Eric.
Bischoff went, I've had some of that Duggaroni pizza. Now I can see people's minds. That's how the pizza
I can
chose
see who's
me.
Thinking about going back to WWF. Don't anybody try fucking with me.
Problem is, Bischoff. Bischoff's thing is, right, I've got this power where I can see people's thoughts. But the only thought I can see is, shall we go to Jim Duggaroni Pizza? That's the only thought I could see.
It's kind of, have you seen Twin Peaks The Return?
This is fucking Twin Peaks The Return.
There's a moment where one of the characters is in a casino and above the casino he sees like a flaming object and that directs him to machines that are about to drop. like the massive jackpot. But it's sort of like that, but with just Jim Duggaroni pizza signs over just random people's heads. And he's like, what does it mean? What does it fucking mean?
Augmented it's just all these reality.
Sort of like the Sims diamond, just like hanging over people's heads. And he's like, can you guys see the pizza? Can
you guys see the Duggaroni pizza
Eric,
signs?
Have you had enough sleep, mate?
I haven't slept since I ate that pizza. When did you eat it? July?
I've not stopped being tired, guys. And my neck is just so frothy.
It's fucking oozing. Me and Nick Patrick just oozing necks.
We shouldn't have been kissing. I knew we shouldn't have been kissing. We just felt left
but it
out.
Felt right.
Hogan in the limo. And
fucking hell, this is a tour de force.
Fucking jaunt down the street, this.
Eddie Guerrero is in action against the Cheetah Kid.
Yeah.
Who popped up on the Classic SmackDown review the other week.
Yeah,
he was playing a security guard in an arena.
No, who is the Cheetah Kid here? Because it's not Rocco Rock.
No, it's a different Cheetah. It's the original Cheetah Kid.
Which was Rocco Rock.
Oh, it's the second Cheetah Kid.
Yeah.
Cliff Cheetah.
So I think Rocco Rock's original gimmick was Cheetah Kid.
So this is the guy that had it after him forever.
Ernest the Cheetah Miller. Not to be mistaken for Ernest the Cat Miller.
We get
two very different people, two very similar gimmicks, two very exact same names.
We get a picture of Eddie calling DDP a one-move wrestler. He says DDP may break an arm or a leg, but he'll never break his heart or his spirit. Good
if
lad.
You broke them all at once, I think it'd probably crush you a bit.
I'd be a bit upset if all those were broken.
Yeah. If I had nothing to do but sit like this in a bed for like 6 months, I'd hate my life.
But the pizza was good, though.
Yeah. Pizza was good, though.
High octane match.
My arms are in iron lungs. It was that
Why? Well, funny thing.
They've all grown noses.
the pizza that chose me, because apparently that's what the pizza does, put lungs in my arms.
Can you imagine if you just had noses on the back of your hands? That'd be so awkward. A nose there and a nose there, and as well as the nose here.
I mean, if you had it from the beginning,
you'd not be able to wipe your ass.
You would. It just stink.
You can't. You'd have to hold your own nose while wiping your ass. Like, how's it going to work?
No.
I'd bidet.
Or you put tissue paper up the nostrils before you wipe your ass.
What, and then wipe with the tissue paper that's in
the nose? No, you have
I was going to say.
You have tissue paper in your hand.
Right.
But then you have that up the nostrils so you don't smell it. Obviously. Welcome to the Night Show Review. Obviously. I defy you to find another fucking Night Show podcast that does this. I fucking challenge you. There isn't one. They're all boring compared to us.
Yeah.
They're all geeks. High octane. They're not. They're great. Some of them. Oh. A high octane match with Eddie and Cheetah. Cheetah landing an angle slam and a fucking powerbomb.
I guess we know who it is in the man.
It's Kurt Angle. Lovely Frankensteiner and a frog splash by Eddie Guerrero to win the match. Eddie's facing DDP at Halloween Havoc. That will be delightful. Mm. Nice little match. We get Lee Marshall with the On the Road report.
While being on the phone on the road there, Lee. I know it was a different time in the 90s, but you can't be, you know, sacrificing your focus on the road to be on the phone.
Yeah. You just get like a hearing veer.
How many
the
points
highway.
On your license? That's how he ends every call. Oh,
oh God. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Pennsylvania next week.
As he's going off, he's going off the bridge.
And then just dead.
We'll be in the Target Center.
It's screaming onlookers.
I do love that it's a still photo of Lee who's on the phone in the picture.
Like,
plugging the Target Center show. I love this. It's Lee Marshall, who was Tony the Tiger.
Really? He was Tony the Tiger?
One of the Tony the Tigers.
And they don't have him even doing the voice properly.
They're grim.
I mean, he obviously can't do that because the Kellogg's Corporation would sue.
It's true.
But they could just maybe do like Kellogg's at Pastamania. Kellogg's with Duggan.
Eat Kellogg's cornflakes with pasta.
Do you know how Duggan
they're grim?
Duggan could eat cornflakes. Duggan could have invented a whole thing. You know, like fruit wind-ups, right? It's like they're like a big roll, right? Yeah. Just tape, but you just lay out a load of cornflakes, right? This is how you make it. Lay out a load of cornflakes, get a load of tape, and just kind of stick them all to the tape. And then you obviously can't eat the tape. You can try.
I'm going to be honest.
You can just sort of like scrape them.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
If it's Duggan preparing it with tape, I ain't touching it.
Well, it's just a fast track to the powers or death.
Or death. Well, it's me on the road with WCW and my neck is oozing tonight.
positively oozing.
Positively oozing.
It's oozomania.
The thought of the Target Center in Minnesota on Saturday. Oh, God! Jesus! Big Bubba.
Maybe it explains where Mean Gene's been for a while.
Something else has been oozing out of Mean Gene. Big Bubba's in action now. He's facing Memphis boy Jeff Jarrett.
Oh, Jeff Jarrett, eh?
Lovely double J pop in Memphis. Nice to hear. Bubba wears down my brilliant mate Jeff Jarrett, but Jeff dodges one and does a little strut, which gets a nice big cheer as well.
Yes.
The old Fargo.
The old strutteroo.
Bubba throws Jeff out. Jimmy Hart gets a few cheap shots in while Jeff's on the floor. Bubba's wearing down Jeff with a headlock. But then Jeff avoids a corner splash and sends Bubba down. Nice. Quad, Jeff. Jeff knocks Jimmy off the apron, walks into a Bubba spine buster for his trouble. We see the ref get twatted away by Bubba. Jimmy throws Bubba the megaphone, but Jeff drop kicks the megaphone into Bubba's face for the three count. Way!
The winner of this contest, Jeff, I never said I could sing Jarrett.
Eric does call him, and then Heenan goes, yeah, Jeff, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, Jarrett.
Jeff, like, it was always the other guy. It was always him. That was part of the story.
Jeff, here's a storyline from another promotion, Jarrett.
You know what I liked in this one? I know why we didn't see it, but I want to see somebody do it at some point now. Because I know how sharp and horrible those ring steps are. Bubba overturns the ring steps upside down. So it's just a hollow with the sharp ass interior, all the welding and the steps. And he goes to put Jarrett into it, but then it sort of doesn't happen. But like, if somebody just powerbombs somebody, just wah! And just, you'd just be like slice and dice.
Just
you'd have like three straight lines just permanently scarred in your back forever.
Oh.
I want to see it. I want to see somebody do it. I want it brutal, like off the top rope. Just make it extreme.
Straight in.
20, 30 feet, just as hard as you can.
Mold your back.
Let's
like
see
Play-Doh.
If we can split them into four different people.
Until Jim Duggan comes on and goes, I'll have them for me delicatessen.
Well, it'd be Hammer first to slice them up.
Oh, of course, Hammer's yeah. Along with the delicatessen skills. Tony interviews Jeff Jarrett. It's revealed that per Jeff's request, Jeff will replace Ric Flair at Halloween Havoc in a match against the Giant. Jeff says he wanted to make an impact in WCW, calling him an impact player.
And then he just shouts, TNA Wrestling. And walks off.
I guess, Uda, we've eaten him and he's in our stomachs. Jeff tells Hogan and the NWO that they will respect the WCW heritage and they will respect Jeff Jarrett. Jeff coming for Hogan.
He's going to be in silver and black in like 3 years.
Yeah, I know, right?
You dog.
And then he's going to found a whole different company. Whatever you do, don't tweet at Real Jeff Jarrett. Total nonstop arseholes.
He is.
I know. He's got cross with me for saying it this week.
Well, let him get cross. What's he going to do? Come all the way here? He's thousands of miles away.
That's what I thought. I think Total Nonstop Arseholes is a nice name for his gang in AEW.
Yeah.
He called me an idiot.
It's another idea out there as well for an eventual new promotion. If
exactly,
he wants to
Jeff.
Take it, that's on the house from you.
It's from gift. From me to my best friend, Jeff Jarrett. At Real Jeff Jarrett, Total Nonstop Arseholes. You'll appreciate
also,
it.
Also, shave the crew buzz cut thing back in.
Yeah.
90s ass glasses and silver guitars. I want to see it one more time.
Yeah, Jeff, you coward.
What orange shades, man. Fucking do it.
Go do it, Jeff, you coward,
it, you
mate.
Coward.
Love you, mate.
You're much taller than me, muscular coward.
He is a coward.
Fucking
fucking arsehole.
How dare you? You Taylor Swift knowing motherfucker.
Taylor Swift knowing motherfucker. Great. Main event o'clock. Oh my God. It's the Faces of Fear versus the WCW Tag Team Champions, Harlem Heat.
With Chez Belernal.
Chez.
Which is Sherry and the Colonel, I've decided.
They're one. Chez Belernal.
Chez Belernal.
It sounds like a place that I would rent on Airbnb.
Yeah, or you go for a wonderful holiday in like the 70s. Where are you going? I'm going to Chez Belernal.
Oh,
my God.
Someone's doing all right on that computer.
Isn't that just off the coast of? Yes.
It feels like it's somewhere that I would definitely get food poisoning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because there's only one chef on there.
Guess who it is? It's a spicy pizza. Exactly. Our neck has been oozing since we got back.
From Chesbalernal. The Chesbalernal ooze, that's what they call it. It's like, you know,
I think that's the football team.
Is it like the freshest 14? It's the Chesbalernal ooze.
Get in the ooze. No sooner is the match underway that Mongo, Deborah, and Benoit are out to taunt the Foff. They're facing them at Halloween Havoc, you say.
They kind of come out and literally do the Scott Hall. They may as well have gone, ooh, and left. Just kind of pop up, and Deborah's like, he used to be in the NFL.
A-N-F-A.
Don't ask about the other guy. And that's it. Just
Booker takes over on Meng. A hot tag sees Stevie Ray beating up Barbarian for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's mostly Harlem Heat, this one.
Yeah, I think Faces of Fear, again, it gets quite formulaic. So, you know, it's almost like it's been phoned in a little bit. It's like, you know, we're just waiting for something to break down, something to happen. Because Faces of Fear especially, they're just playing quite heavily by the rules here.
Yeah.
It's just quick tag, get in, hit a move, quick tag, double team, get in, hit a move, quick tag. And eventually Book just starts getting ground down by them.
They do. But Meng, as they say, like I said, there's a nice little bit of tag team-ness until Scott Hall and Kevin Nash turn up.
Yeah.
The match is thrown out when Foff and HH size him up.
Which isn't against the rules. Like, they don't get counted out.
Yeah.
They could walk up to any member of the audience and, you know, joe off to them if they really wanted to.
It's a weird choice to lob, like, the match
to have
out.
Them just, unless it's like a safety thing, but we've not really installed anything. But either way it works. It's just, you know, don't question it. Just go with it.
It's a bit Wild West. Yeah. Kevin Nash and Scott Hall head towards the ramp, and Eric Bischoff is pleading for Sting, wherever he is, to come back and leave.
He's with NWO. We saw him earlier in the night.
He's there. He's just hanging out.
You've got a Sting. This might not be the Sting you want, but it's the Sting you deserve.
You've got the Sting.
A young Chris Nolan in the audience going, oh my fucking God, I've got it.
I know how to finish that movie I'm making. Back from the break, Eric.
In 10 years.
It's taking me a while. I write very slowly. Back from the break, Eric Bischoff warns Hogan that if Savage laces up his boots, it's over for Hogan, because otherwise he'll slip over. This brings out Hogan and the NWO with Elizabeth between them. So is Elizabeth signed with the NWO?
Well, she's out hanging out with him, isn't she? But she's sitting there going, Randy, please come back to the house that we used to live in together. Which has got to be awkward that she just turned up and filmed in probably what somebody else's garden. Unless she's left Randy with that mortgage on top of all the money she spent. Where does she get off? Genuinely.
Where does she get off?
Where do you get off, Lizzie?
Broccoli wins. Hogan mentions it's NWO time and that he's been busy filming Three Ninjas.
So part of me feels like it was said so deliberately. Is this around the time Miller were using It's Miller Time for the first time as Brandon? Because I've got a feeling the first time WhatsApp happens, we're also going to get a big WhatsApp from him.
He's trying to find that little catchphrase for the NWO, because he was up till now doing, here's the NWO, and it doesn't fucking scan.
Not anymore.
That's shit as well. But NWO time is the best so far. It's still not there.
It's NWO time.
It's quarter to NWO time. It's time to have a bath. What do you mean we're already clean? Scrub, scrub, scrub till the water's brown. Here come Knobs and Sags.
And they're like, yeah, wait. And they're wearing their NWO shirts, and they're looking to, like, kiss babies and get that baby face pop. It's weird as fuck.
They're buzzing because they're about to, yeah, I'm not surprised they want to kiss babies because they're about to sign their NWO contracts. How exciting for them. What a time. There aren't any old tossers in the NWO now. They're buzzing about the contract, but they want a bit more money from the deal.
They say they're looking over the contract. It's like, well, just looking at the contract before we sign it, why is all the shit about, like, flights and private jets and cars and limos and money probably needs to move that decimal place along by a couple of, like, zeros? And Hogan just sort of looks at him like, whoa, what the fuck? And
you're the fucking
Nash just looking at them like, come on. Like, you being for real? But then Hogan tries to sort of disarm them a bit, doesn't he? He's just like, well, if you don't see my signature on it, then it's not signed off on. So,
but then Hogan says, come to think of it, because I've not signed on it, you haven't joined yet, so you shouldn't be end up wearing NWO t-shirts.
NWO colours, he says, like it's a biker gang.
That's actually, yes, that's the right wording. You shouldn't be wearing NWO colours. And with that, the New World Order attack the Nasty Boys. Mm. They spent weeks trying to get into the good books, the good graces, the NWO.
Ooh, Terry!
Thought they were in there with Terry? No chance.
Done.
They get
gone.
Fucking battered.
Goodbye.
By the lads, by Six, by Giant, by Nash, by Hall.
They get spray painted as well.
Nash drops
while
elbow.
Liz is going,
I don't care for any of you, so I'm ambivalent to this whole situation.
Well, she goes to slap Hogan once Hogan starts running his mouth about Liz and Savage, and Hogan kind of catches her arm, doesn't he?
He does, but he says there's a little. He says that this is a little bit of what he's gonna do to Savage at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah,
reminding Savage that Liz dreamed about Hogan throughout their entire marriage.
When she was banging you, she was thinking about me, Savage. You were sitting there lining up all of your Slim Jims so they look just nice. She were dreaming about me and my Hulk Hogan mustachioed penis.
Hollywood.
Do you think he shaved in a tash?
Well, he might have done.
Probably.
But he does promise Liz a new Hollywood hairdo tomorrow, which Savage is going to love.
Okay.
So what, is she shaving her head? It sounds quite malicious.
Maybe they just spray paint NWO into it.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Hall, Nash, and Six shoo the commentators away, and we get a recap of Savage's departure.
It's really awkward. Because, Hall, Nash, and Six make commentary run away, and then they're like, oh, yeah, those guys from Harlem run down Harlem Heat, confirm that we're going to have Harlem Heat versus the Outsiders. And then, you know, it's kind of just really trying to help sell. And then it just cuts to Savage crying on the ramp again. And it's like, oh. And then run into the car and just leave in. And it's like, what a flat ending.
it's just a
horrible emotional ending. Like, once again, Sting's not here. Randy Savage is having an emotional catastrophe right now. And these fuckers are running the show.
The hope being that NWO will get their comeuppance.
Yeah.
Spoiler, they never get their comeuppance.
What are you on about? They got to see Randy tonight. They should be happy, that audience.
They should be over the moon. It's a Nitro that felt eerily similar to a lot of Nitros lately.
Yeah.
We're in a bit of a holding pattern again.
We are. Things are going to kind of start to do this a bit. And then it's going to get really interesting into next year once we clear December.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's going to kind of be like, whoa, okay, for a bit. And then it's kind of going to do the same thing, but a bit higher. And it's going to do the same thing. But at the same time, the NWO is going to be kind of going across the board. So as it balloons and balloons. Once Horace turns up, we know that we're on the downward slope.
Is Horace the ultimate point?
Horace is like the first herald of the apocalypse for me.
Vincent isn't?
Vincent at least makes sense because DiBiase's there, and it's a petty way to kind of go, like, oh, fuck you, Vince. Way.
That's true.
So it makes sense, right? Plus, they could use him in a way he was never used in WWE if they really wanted to, and try and make him more of a deal. So for me, it's like there are options there with Vincent. With Horace, it's just shit.
Pure shit.
I think, to be honest, it's a bit poo before we get to Horace, but I think Horace is mid next year.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, we'll see whether we can exactly pinpoint the moment that the NWO wheels
fall. But at the same time, you've got Lash LaRue coming through. You've got a lot more happening. There's a lot more going on in the wider scene. Buff Bagwell, Scott Steiner. It's all kind of.
But in amongst that scene is just this big beach ball that is the NWO.
And Goldberg on a fucking tear.
Never heard of him.
Well, when we get there, I'm going to make so many exorbitant demands of the universe. But I want Goldberg to win every match at WrestleMania. So whatever year we get there, probably be next year now, Goldberg better come back, defeat everybody, leave with all the belts, and then leave with the company.
On one night.
Yeah.
Well, you have brought chaotic energy to life before.
Yeah.
So
he comes to North and he wins all the North belts.
That'd be amazing. Yeah. Bowers would love that.
Yeah.
But Goldberg
and he just leaves with Bowers over his shoulder.
Bowers smiling.
Climbing up the side of a building like King Kong.
Inside the Alan Anarchy Brewery. Be amazing. Hey, the Cultaholic News Podcast, the audio version of the news podcast, is moving. From Monday, you get a brand new podcast feed. where all the 10-minute wrestling news podcasts will live on a morning, Monday to Friday, and exclusive news video, exclusive interviews on the weekend as well. Search Cultaholic Wrestling News right now, wherever you get your podcasts from. It's a second thing. It's just on there, 10 minutes every morning. You can even ask Alexa to play Cultaholic Wrestling News, and you'll get the news in your ears.
You've set off loads of people's Alexas now.
Alexa! Play Rick Astley, Together Forever.
Alexa, add 5 Jim Duggaroni pizzas to my shopping list. Alexa, add neck braces to my shopping list. Alexa, add oozing medication to my shopping list. Alexa, add metal bone polish to my shopping list. Alexa, turn off the TV.
Alexa, do I have a nose on my hand?
Alexa, what would life be like if people had noses on the backs of their hands as well as one in the middle of their face?
Here's a non-Alexa command. Go to our YouTube channel and watch the WWE's Golden Age documentary, all 4 glorious parts.
Hey Siri, watch that 9 times, please. I'm happy. The response to it has been monumental so far.
It's our best work, mate.
Thank you all for tuning in. We want to continue it, obviously. There's the tease at the end for potential new generation stuff. But it's one of those things where we really do need to see how it does. So if you do enjoy the documentary-based content, please share it. We also have the complete history of ECW, which premiered on New Year's Eve, edited by the amazing Daniel Heppel. But we need to just get as many views as we can on it, push it out to as many people as possible. If you know somebody who may even have a passing interest in it, please share it with them. And fingers crossed, it means that we may be able to produce something for the new generation era. But it did take a long time, so please bear with us.
And for the latest wrestling news throughout the week, you can check out Cultaholic.com. He's oozing at the Sam Driver on X. I'm at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we're at Cultaholic on all. Just hasn't stopped oozing.
Ham Baby is still probably my favorite of the episode.
Father!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.